Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Advaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Advaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Advaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu Ki Jai. Okay. So, we're going to read this morning about the appearance of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Several things I wanted to read this morning. Well, a couple of things at least. What I wanted to read this morning was the purpose of the appearance of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And, of course, there's the most confidential reasons, and then, of course, there's the external, the internal, the external appearance of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So, after reading the chapters, I read a couple of chapters, and they were very ecstatic. In fact, it kind of was kind of reawakening to try to develop an understanding of the appearance of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and what the purposes were. And it's very interesting to note that one of the first reasons of Lord Chaitanya's appearance was to actually relish the position of Radharani. Lord Krishna wanted to really actually understand what this loving tendency of Radharani was towards him. And he wanted to actually relish that. But he couldn't, because Radharani and Krishna are both one and the same. They're non-different. So he couldn't really understand it. He had to actually do something to understand that particular mood or that feeling of Radharani. So in that way, he came as Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in the mood of Radharani, so that he could taste the love that Radharani had for Lord Sri Krishna. Because Radharani was actually enjoying more than Krishna. She was actually relishing the loving, the taste, the ras, even more than Krishna could actually enjoy. This is the position of Radharani. And this is one of the main reasons that Lord Chaitanya came here to this world, to give us an opportunity to understand that particular pastime. And of course, he also came to experience the transcendental mellow himself. Krishna wanted to actually experience that mellow, as we said, the ras. And then the third reason that Lord Chaitanya appeared was to enjoy the bliss that Radharani was tasting from this devotional service, from this ecstasy of serving the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So those were the three principal reasons, the most confidential. And then, of course, there's the external. And the external was to spread the Nam Sankirtan, the chanting of the holy name, of this Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Rama Hare Hare. And this came about because of the request of Advaita Acharya. We know that Advaita Acharya, he saw the condition of the living entities in the material world and the suffering condition that was existing in the material world at that time. So many people had no desire to understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead or to serve the Supreme Lord in any fashion, any way. And he felt very distressed by this condition. And so he decided that he wanted to request the Lord to come, and only he could come and present the message of Krishna consciousness. Because only the Lord can do that. Krishna is the only one that can come and really give us this message of how to serve Him and how to love Him. So He came in that way as Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to teach us how to surrender to Krishna. And the way that Advaita Acharya accomplished this was by very simple means, by simply taking Tulsi leaves and Ganges water and offering it to the Supreme Lord. And as I was reading this, I was just trying to understand and realize the importance of worshipping Tulsi Devi. It was described in his pastime that Advaita Acharya realized that he could melt the heart of Krishna, the Supreme Lord. And this is what it said. Krishna Das Kaviraj said that he could melt the heart of God, of Krishna, by just offering the Tulsi leaf and he actually offered Tulsi buds into the Ganges water. So can you imagine what opportunity we have in the process of every day watering Tulsi Devi? I mean, it's incredible. I was reading this and I was saying, wow, it's almost inconceivable that by his pure consciousness, of course, and of course we know that Advaita Acharya is the Vishnu Tattva, but still by his pure consciousness and by offering the buds of the Tulsi to the Ganges, it invoked the Supreme Lord through the heart, melted his heart to come to this world in the form of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Very amazing understanding. And this realization, of course, is only reserved for those that are devotees of the Lord. Only the pure devotees of the Lord can understand this. Papa described that there's two types of people that cannot understand this. They cannot appreciate this. Prabhupada said one is an animal killer. One who slaughters animals and eats the flesh of animals. That's one person that cannot understand this subtle science. Or even the appearance of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And the other one is the killer of the soul. Like a Mayavadi. Or one who's professing sense gratification. The killer of the soul. So those are the two types of individuals that cannot understand the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu or even appreciate the Krishna consciousness movement for that matter. These types of individuals, animal killers, eaters, and those that are the soul killers who profess that there is no God, that you are not a part of God, that this is only what you see. This material world. So, Lord Chaitanya appeared to rectify these tribulations, and Advaita Acharya realized all these activities going on, and in that way he requested Lord Chaitanya to appear in this material world, and he did. But Lord Chaitanya, he came, of course, he came in the month of Falguna. Falguna is a period of time, you know, like February, March. In a moon calendar, so the date usually changes. But it's the month of Falguna. On a full moon day, full moon night. Like this morning, if you looked out in the sky, you saw the moon, and then there was clouds in front of it. It was rather beautiful. And kind of worrisome for me, because I didn't want it to rain all day. For various reasons. So I was a little bit of anxiety. But then, not too much after that, we saw that it kind of like cleared up. And I thought, wow, this is really auspicious. What an auspicious day. That the atmosphere was cleansed by Lord Indra in this rain shower. Everything was cleaned. And the moon was shining. And I was thinking, wow, what an amazing situation it is. And who can appreciate this? Except for those of us that had the opportunity to have the grace of the association of a pure devotee such as Srila Prabhupada, the Acharya of ISKCON. And how, what kind of mercy did, were we actually receiving that we could appreciate this? You know, like sometimes if you go to Hawaii, they're known for their great sunsets and you know, people that go there to get married and that are lovers, and they try to see the sun setting, and they're thinking, oh God, this is so great. And it is pretty spectacular. It's pretty nice. It's awesome. But at the same time, as a devotee, when we see the full moon and you know, it's the appearance day of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, it's like, wow, this is like really spectacular. It's going to be like a great day to worship and hear about the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So Lord Chaitanya, he came. And we know that Lord Chaitanya, he came in this particular Purnima. On this occasion, the full moon, Titi. Titi means like an occasion. So on this occasion, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he appeared. And we see that Lord Chaitanya, he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But he's kind of like, he's hidden. He's called Chana Kalao. Chana means he's hidden. The hidden Supreme Personality of Godhead. He's not like Lord Nrsingadev, who came in that particular form to bifurcate Hiranyakashipu, meaning soft bed and money, gold, the sense gratification. Or Lord Ramchandra, he came to vanquish Ravana, you know, the supreme demon, powerful demon. So Lord Ramchandra had to come to vanquish that individual. And what to speak of Vamanadeva, Bali Maharaj, the demon who took over the whole three worlds. So Vamanadeva appeared and took everything away. But Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he's different. He's Channa. He's a hidden incarnation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He came like secret, like a secret operative, you know, like CIA. You know, he was an operative. You didn't know. And only few people knew Lord Chaitanya was the Supreme Lord. It's not like everybody knew that he was the Supreme Lord. Very few, only the pure devotee of the Lord could understand this hidden Supreme Lord. And in several occasions, Lord Chaitanya revealed himself to his most intimate associates. And they weren't bewildered by it. It's not like they were surprised. They were in ecstasy that he actually revealed himself. They were so happy to see this. Ah, thank you. It's like it's just like when Arjuna, you know, when he was on the battlefield with Krishna, and he wanted to know, well, who are you? What, you know, who are you, Krishna? So he showed his universal form, and he became completely disturbed. Oh no. I don't want to see that aspect of you. Please, show me your two-handed form. That personal, that loving exchange form. And this is what Lord Chaitanya, he did. He showed that loving exchange form with his pure devotees in the pastimes. So he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And of course, when Krishna came, he was very demanding. Sarva dharmam parityajamam ekam saranam brajam ahantam sarva papevyo moksha yiksami masuchaha. Krishna demanded, surrender to me. Right now, surrender. And you can see that's difficult for people. If we say that, if you meet someone in the street, and when we were younger devotees, we might have said that to somebody. We'd say to them, Sarva dharmam parityajam, surrender, you animal, you fool. Surrender right now. And what was the result of that? The person would look at you and say, what? You know, who are you and who is this Krishna? Well, you gotta tell me. And this is our foolishness. This is how foolish we are. You know, we're foolish. When somebody comes and approaches you, you know, sometimes even if it's your own guru and the guru says, I want you to do this, we kind of, the first thought is, wait a minute. Let's discuss this. Let's negotiate this thing out. What to speak of an ordinary soul like ourselves? And we say, hey, I want you to do this. And the reaction will be, well, who are you? I don't need to surrender. Why should I? And this is our foolishness. We're foolish like that. That's why it's very few people can actually really understand to surrender to the Supreme Lord. Very difficult. It's insurmountable because we're so covered over with material conception and foolishness. So very difficult. And when Krishna demanded it, so many people, they didn't like it. You know, and you can tell because if you read the Krishna book, how many demons did Krishna have to kill? I mean, think about it. You know, like how many chapters are there where Krishna had a confrontation with a demon and he had to take care of business? Almost every other chapter. From babyhood to all the way to adulthood. This is what Krishna did the whole time. But Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he came in the same way. But he did it differently. He did it very secretive, operative. He did it very, very amazingly. He also said surrender. But the difference with this appearance of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was that he came and he showed us how to do it like a devotee. He showed the way. He showed us how to do this. The whole Krishna conscious philosophy is about submission. It is. It is about submitting ourselves. Krishna demanded it in his form. In the battlefield of Kurukshetra, and you take a look at that picture, Krishna demanded surrender to Arjuna. So it is about submission. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also spoke of submission, but not that he speak about it, but he showed it by his activity, by his example. And he came to show us how to take up Krishna consciousness. This is why he's the most magnanimous. Namo Mahavadinaya Krishna Prema Padayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namana Gautya Svena Maha. He was the most magnanimous incarnation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead because he showed us how to do it, and then not only did he show it, but then he gave Krishna Prema freely. He gave it out freely to the most fallen, wretched souls like us. We have the opportunity to experience the highest pleasures. But Lord Chaitanya showed us how to do this, but he had a formula. There is a formula. Tanarapi sunichena tarorapi sahishnuna amanina manadena kirtaniya sadaha dihari. This is the formula that Lord Chaitanya gave us. And tanarapi sunichena, he showed us how to become more humble than grass in the street. Like grass, it doesn't protest. You stomp on grass and it doesn't protest. So this is one aspect. And taror api sahishnuna, tolerant like a tree. This is another tool that Lord Chaitanya gave us. So we have to be humble. We have to be tolerant. And then we have to be amanina manadena. We shouldn't want any kind of like position or power or followers. Or respect, but in turn we should give to others. And then Lord Chaitanya says, Kirtaniya Sadahari, that when we develop those three qualities of tolerance, of humility, and not wanting respect, then we can chant the holy name of the Lord properly. This is the formula. And this is submission. You know, if you consider those particular points, it's all about submission. We have to submit ourselves to the holy name of the Lord. And this is what the formula is. And we see that in the material world, everybody's looking for some happiness. And they're submitting themselves to a boss, to a wife, to a husband. You know, we're submitting ourselves every day to the material energy. We're submitting ourselves to our senses. We submit ourselves to our mind. And every day we're submitting, but we don't recognize it. We don't think anything like that. But it is about submission. But we need to have proper direction. So we cannot understand the Supreme Lord by our speculation. It has to come from the Supreme Lord. And of course, you know, someone might say, well, Krishna's not here today. He is in his Archavigraha. But still people say, well, he's not here. So what to do? Krishna, God, he's not here any longer. Even I could say, well, my Guru Maharaj is here no longer. What do I do? You know, what to do? You know, so what we do is we actually have to surrender to the parampara. We have to surrender to a pure devotee of the Lord, the Acharya. And from that surrender, we understand how to approach the Supreme Lord, how to understand Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. By the grace of this parampara, we're reading today about Lord Chaitanya from the parampara, from the Acharyas, those that understood the Supreme Lord, that knew Krishna, that saw Krishna and realized Krishna. And this is what we're reading today, although we may not have an understanding of it or any knowledge. But if we hear, this is how we can actually become purified. And everyone in the material world, they're looking for some kind of happiness, some kind of pleasure. But they're thinking that they can get it by sense gratification. And they've developed so many philosophies for it. Just like Buddhism. I read this morning. Incredible description of how Prabhupada described, you know, all these philosophies. One of them is Buddhism. But Srila Prabhupada very neatly just brought down this philosophy. He said, like Lord Buddha, he saw the suffering of the living conditions of the living entities. And himself was suffering. He saw nothing but strife and war and pestilence and suffering of humanity. So he introduced nirvana. And what was this idea of nirvana? He said, take water and put it back in the water. Take earth, put it back to earth. Take fire, put it back into fire. Take ether, put it back in ether. But this is the furthest that he went. He only spoke about earth, water, fire, air, ether, the body. And then eliminate the body and you're not going to have any more suffering. The Prabhupada said he conveniently left out the mind. Because when you speak of the mind, then, well, whose mind are we talking about? And if you question whose mind, the next thing you think is, well, there's got to be a person. There must be a person, a soul. So Buddha, he conveniently left out the soul, the person, and just dealt with the body. And Prabhupada describes how, even though that philosophy is there, to accomplish it, you're developing a lot of anxiety. Just think about, if you try to think of Buddhism, the kind of anxiety that you would get from that. You have to keep telling yourself every day you're nothing. That kind of stresses you out. Because all around you, you're interacting with people every day. You know, just like if you're like married and you tell your wife, well, you're nothing. You're nothing, I'm nothing. Well, how do you associate? How do you have a relationship? You're nothing. So this is ridiculous. And so, Prabhupada says, then came Sankaracharya, Mayavadi. He said, no. Don't leave it there. You're actually Brahman. You're spirit. You're better than this body. You're higher than this body. But then he said, but you're void. You're void. You're going to nothing. You just merge. And Prabhupada gave an example. I think he did. Or somebody did when I was a younger devotee. And he gave an example of how, let's say there's a big party going on. And you're Mayavadi. So you go into this place where there's a big party. People laughing, shouting, having fun, eating, dancing, just conversing. And you come in and you go into a dark closet. And you sit in that dark closet and you just start meditating. I'm void. I'm Brahman. And outside, you're hearing everybody, hey, Haribo! You know, high five, high ten, enjoying like anything. And you're thinking, well, how is that possible? How can I be, this is not, it's not real. So we see that these philosophies come from frustration, from misunderstanding. So what we need to do is purify our senses. This is really the sukham atyantikam yattat atindriyam grayam. Atindriya. We need to have transcendental senses. This is what we need to do. Our senses are covered over. But we need atindriyam. We need transcendental senses. What does that mean? So the examples given by Prabhupada, like you have a sense of touch. You can touch. And if you touch something, like for instance, if you touch a pashmina shawl, and you've touched it, you feel, oh boy, this feels so soft, so beautiful, so nice. Or silk. So if you put gloves on, you know, you go get a pair of gloves, and then you touch that same item, can you really feel it? No, you can't feel it. Your hands are covered. So we're covered over. Our consciousness is covered over by this body. Our transcendental super senses are covered over. So we can never appreciate super sense gratification. All we're experiencing is material sense gratification, which is frustrating, which is temporary. You know, it's painful. This is what we're experiencing. So we need to experience super sense gratification. And what is that super sense gratification? That means that we have to become transcendental, beyond the conception of this body. And take the gloves off. You know how when two people are really getting into it, okay, all right, man, let's take the gloves off. This is for real. So we have to take the gloves off. And then by the chanting of the holy name, this is what helps us to uncover our real consciousness. This is Krishna consciousness. This is what this Krishna consciousness movement is about. This is the philosophy of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Just like if you're very thirsty and want clear, fresh water, and you drink that water, it'll quench your thirst. You'll become satisfied. But if you drink some adulterated water, if you drink some colored adulterated water, you won't be satisfied. So this is our position. We're adulterated senses. We're not satisfying ourselves, no matter how much we strive. So we have to come to that point where we surrender to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And this is the science of Krishna consciousness. This is how we become clear, clear-headed. This is how we become super sense gratified, beyond just this material sense gratification, which is nothing. It's practically nothing compared to Krishna consciousness. All right? So, I'm just going to read a little bit. I know that taking a little long. It's hard to not really get into it, right? I'm sorry. But I'll read about the confidential reasons for Lord Chaitanya's appearance. How's that? Then there's some external, which are very short. So I'll read about the confidential pastimes of Supreme Lord. Some Adi Lila. I'll just read the translations, try to go very fast. I have, as you can see, large type. So don't be freaked out that I got like 15 pages. They'll go very quickly. 10 minutes, 15 minutes. Okay. Adilila. I've given the essential meaning of the fourth verse. This incarnation, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, descends to propagate the chanting of the holy name and spread love of God. Although this is true, this is but the external reason for the Lord's incarnation. Please hear one other reason, the confidential reason for the Lord's appearance. In whatever transcendental manner my devotee worships me, I reciprocate with him. This is my natural behavior. Purport. The Lord, by his inherent nature, reveals himself before his devotees according to their inherent devotional service. The Vrindavan pastimes demonstrated that although generally people worship God with reverence, the Lord is more pleased when a devotee thinks of him as his pet son, personal friend, or most dear fiance, and renders service unto him with such natural affection. The Lord becomes a subordinate object of love in such transcendental relationships. Such pure love of Godhead is unadulterated by any tinge of superfluous non-devotional desires and is not mixed with any sort of fruitive action or empiric philosophical speculation. It is pure and natural love of Godhead, spontaneously aroused in the absolute stage. This devotional service is executed in a favorable atmosphere, freed from material affection. Translation. Just as these desires are the fundamental reason for Krishna's appearance, whereas destroying the demons is only an incidental necessity, so for Sri Krishna Chaitanya, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, promulgating the Dharma of the age is incidental. When the Lord desired to appear for another reason, the time for promulgating the religion of the age also arose. Thus, with two intentions, the Lord appeared with his devotees and tasted the nectar of prema with the congregational chanting of the holy name. Thus he spread kirtan even among the untouchables. He wove a wreath of the holy name and prema with which he garlanded the entire material world. In this way, assuming the sentiment of a devotee, he preached devotional service while practicing himself. I'm just going to read a portion of this purport, which is very applicable. So Damodar Goswami had described Lord Chaitanya as Krishna himself with the attitude of Radharani, or a combination of Radha and Krishna. The intention of Lord Chaitanya is to taste Krishna's sweetness and transcendental love. He does not care to think of himself as Krishna because he wants the position of Radharani. We should remember this. A class of so-called devotees called the Nadia Nagaris, or Gora Nagaris, pretend that they have the sentiment of gopis toward Lord Chaitanya, but they do not realize that he placed himself not as the enjoyer, Krishna, but as the enjoyed, the devotee of Krishna. The concoctions of unauthorized persons pretending to be bona fide have not been accepted by Lord Chaitanya. Presentations such as those of the Gora Nagaris are only disturbances to the sincere execution of the mission of Lord Chaitanya. Lord Chaitanya is undoubtedly Krishna himself, and he is always non-different from Srimati Radharani. But the emotion technically called Vipralamba Bhava, which the Lord adopted for confidential reasons, should not be disturbed in the name of service. A mundaner should not unnecessarily intrude into affairs of transcendence and thereby displease the Lord. One must always be on guard against this sort of devotional anomaly. A devotee is not meant to create disturbances to Krishna. As Srila Rupa Goswami has explained, devotional service is anukulyena, or favorable to Krishna. Acting unfavorably toward Krishna is not devotion. Kamsa was the enemy of Krishna. He always thought of Krishna, but he thought of him as an enemy. One should always avoid such unfavorable so-called service. Lord Chaitanya has accepted the role of Radharani, and we should support that position, as Swarup Damodar did in the Gambira, the room where Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu stayed in Puri. He always reminded Lord Chaitanya of Radha's feelings of separation, as they are described in Srimad Bhagavatam, and Lord Chaitanya appreciated his assistance. But the Gora Nagaris, who placed Lord Chaitanya in the position of enjoyer and themselves as his enjoyed, are not approved by Lord Chaitanya or by Lord Chaitanya's followers. Instead of being blessed, the foolish imitators are left completely apart. Their concoctions are against the principles of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. The doctrine of transcendental enjoyment by Krishna cannot be mixed up with the doctrine of transcendental feeling of separation from Krishna in the role of Radharani. There is a great translation. There is a great increase of mellow in the unwedded conjugal mood. Such love is found nowhere but in Braja. This mood is unbounded in the damsels of Braja, but among them it finds its perfection in Sri Radha. Her pure, mature love surpasses that of all others. Her love is the cause of Lord Krishna's tasting the sweetness of the conjugal relationship. Therefore, Lord Gauranga, who is Sri Hari himself, accepted the sentiments of Radha and thus fulfilled his own desires. Lord Krishna desired to taste the limitless nectarian mellows of the love of one of his multitude of loving damsels, Sri Radha. And so, he had assumed the form of Lord Chaitanya. He has tasted that love while hiding his own dark complexion with her effulgent yellow color. May that Lord Chaitanya confer upon us his grace. To accept ecstatic love is the main reason. He appeared and reestablished a religious system for this age. I shall now explain that reason. Everyone, please listen. The loving affairs of Sri Radha and Krishna are transcendental manifestation of the Lord's internal pleasure-giving potency. Although Radha and Krishna are one in their identity, they separated themselves eternally. Now, these two transcendental identities have again united in the form of Sri Krishna Chaitanya. I bow down to him who has manifested himself with the sentiment and complexion of Srimati Radharani, although he is Krishna himself. Radha and Krishna are one and the same, but they have assumed two bodies. Thus they enjoy each other, tasting the mellows of love. Purport. The two transcendentalists, Radha and Krishna, are a puzzle to materialists. The above description of Radha and Krishna formed the diary of Srila Swarup Damodar Goswami is a condensed explanation, but one needs great spiritual insight to understand the mystery of these two personalities. One is enjoying in two. Sri Krishna is the potent factor, and Srimati Radharani is the internal potency. According to Vedanta philosophy, there is no difference between the potent and the potency. They are identical. We cannot differentiate between one and the other any more than we can separate fire from heat. Everything in the absolute is inconceivable in relative existence. Therefore, in relative cognizance, it is very difficult to assimilate this truth of the oneness between the potent and the potency. The philosophy of inconceivable oneness and difference propounded by Lord Chaitanya is the only source of understanding for such intricacies of transcendence. In fact, Radharani is the internal potency of Sri Krishna, and she eternally intensifies the pleasure of Sri Krishna. Impersonalists cannot understand this without the help of a Mahabhagavat devotee. The very name Radha suggests that Srimati Radharani is eternally the topmost mistress of the comforts of Sri Krishna. As such, she is the medium transmitting the living entity's service to Sri Krishna. Devotees in Vrindavan therefore seek the mercy of Srimati Radharani in order to be recognized as loving servitors of Sri Krishna. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu personally approaches the fallen conditioned souls of the Iron Age to deliver the highest principle of transcendental relationships with the Lord. The activities of Lord Chaitanya are primarily in the role of the pleasure-giving portion of his internal potency. The Absolute Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, is the omnipotent form of transcendental existence, knowledge, and bliss in full. His internal potency is exhibited first as sat, or existence, or in other words, as a portion that expands the existence function of the Lord. When the same potency displays full knowledge, it is called chit or samvit, which expands the transcendental forms of the Lord. Finally, when the same potency plays as a pleasure-giving medium, it is known as hladini, or the transcendental blissful potency. Thus, the Lord manifests his internal potency in three transcendental divisions. Translation. Now, to enjoy rasa, they have appeared in one body as Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Srimati Radhika is a transformation of Krishna's love. She is his internal energy called Hridini. That Hridini energy gives Krishna pleasure and nourishes his devotees. Radha is the one who gives pleasure to Govinda, and she is also the enchantress of Govinda. She is the be-all and the end-all of Govinda, and the crest jewel of all consorts. The transcendental goddess Srimati Radharani is a direct counterpart of Lord Sri Krishna. She is the central figure for all the goddesses of fortune. She possesses all the attractiveness to attract the all-attractive personality of Godhead. She is the primeval internal potency of the Lord. Krishna Mayi means one who's within and without our Lord Krishna. She sees Lord Krishna wherever she casts her glance. Or Krishna Mayi means that she is identical with Lord Krishna, for she embodies the mellows of love. The energy of Lord Krishna is identical with him. Purport. Krishna Mayi has two different imports. First, a person who always thinks of Krishna both within and without, and who always remembers only Krishna wherever he goes or whatever he sees, is called Krishna Mayi. Also, since Krishna's personality is full of love, his loving potency, Radharani, being non-different from him, is called Krishna Mayi. Translation. Lord Krishna enchants the world, but Sri Radha enchants even him. Therefore, she is the supreme goddess of all. Sri Radha is the full power, and Lord Krishna is the possessor of full power. The two are not different, as evidenced by the revealed scriptures. They are indeed the same, just as musk and its scent are inseparable, or as fire and its heat are non-different. Thus Radha and Krishna are one, yet they have taken two forms to enjoy the mellows of pastimes. To promulgate prema bhakti, devotional service in love of Godhead, Krishna appeared as Sri Krishna Chaitanya with the mood and complexion of Sri Radha. Thus I have explained the meaning of the fifth verse. There is a principal cause for Lord Krishna's appearance. It grows from his own engagements as the foremost enjoyer of loving exchanges. Swarupa Goshani is the most intimate associate of the Lord. He therefore knows all these topics well. The heart of Lord Chaitanya is the image of Sri Radhika's emotions. Thus feelings of pleasure and pain arise constantly therein. In the final portion of his pastimes, Lord Chaitanya was obsessed with the madness of separation from Lord Krishna. He acted in erroneous ways and talked deliriously. Purport. Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu exhibited the highest stage of feelings of a devotee in separation from the Lord. This exhibition was sublime because he was completely perfect in the feelings of separation. Materialists, however, cannot understand this. Sometimes materialistic scholars think he was diseased or crazy. Their problem is that they always engage in material sense gratification and can never understand the feelings of the devotees and the Lord. Materialists are most abominable in their ideas. They think that they can enjoy directly perceivable gross objects by their senses, and that they can similarly deal with the transcendental features of Lord Chaitanya. But the Lord is understood only in pursuance of the principles laid down by the Goswamis, headed by Swarupa Damodar. Doctrines like those of the Nadiya Nagaris, a class of so-called devotees, are never presented by authorized persons like Swarupa Damodar or the six Goswamis. The ideas of the Gauranga Nagaris are simply a mental concoction, and they are completely on the mental platform. Only a few more pages. Just as Radhika went mad at the sight of Uddhava, so Lord Chaitanya was obsessed day and night with the madness of separation. At night he talked incoherently in grief with his arms around Swarupa Damodar's neck. He spoke out his heart in ecstatic inspiration. Whenever a particular sentiment arose in his heart, Swarupa Damodar satisfied him by singing songs or reciting verses of the same nature. Lord Chaitanya appeared with the sentiment of Radha. He preached the Dharma of this age, the chanting of the holy name, and pure love of God. In the mood of Srimati Radharani, he also fulfilled his own desires. This is the principal reason for his appearance. Lord Sri Krishna Chaitanya is Krishna, the embodiment of rasas. He is amorous love personified. He made his appearance to taste that conjugal mellow and incidentally to broadcast all the rasas. Lord Sri Krishna Chaitanya is the abode of rasa. He himself tasted the sweetness of rasa in endless ways. Purport. Lord Chaitanya is Sri Krishna himself, the absolute enjoyer of the love of the gopis. He himself assumes the role of the gopis to taste the predominated happiness, transcendental mellows. He appeared in that mode, but simultaneously he propagated the religious process for this age in a most fascinating way. Only the confidential devotees of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu can understand this transcendental secret. Advaita Acharya, Lord Nityananda, Srivas Pandit, Gadadhar Pandit, Swarup Damodar, Murari Gupta, Haridas Thakur, and all the other devotees of Sri Krishna Chaitanya, bowing down with devotion, I hold their lotus feet on my head. Desiring to understand the glory of Radharani's love, the wonderful qualities in him that she alone relishes through her love, and the happiness she feels when she realizes the sweetness of his love, the Supreme Lord Hari, richly endowed with her emotions, appeared from the womb of Srimati Sachidevi as the moon appeared from the ocean. Anyone who has captured Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Lord Nityananda Prabhu in his heart will become blissful by hearing all these transcendental conclusions. All these conclusions are like the newly grown twigs of a mango tree. They are always pleasing to the devotees, who in this way resemble cuckoo birds. Praying at the lotus feet of Sri Rupa and Sri Raghunath, always desiring their mercy, I, Krishnadas, narrate Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, following in their footsteps. Thus in the Bhaktivedanta Purport to Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Adi Lila, 4th chapter, describing the confidential reasons for the appearance of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So, if I can just have another, 10 or 15 minutes, is that okay? And if I can read about the external reasons for the appearance of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, which are ecstatic in their own way also. I'll try to go very quickly, because I know on these days it's very difficult just to hear reading. So I know it's very tough. These are wonderful realizations from Krishnadas Kaviraj, and Prabhupada's purports are extremely ecstatic. So we'll begin. May the Supreme Lord, who is known as Son of Sachi, Srimati Sachi Devi, be transcendentally situated in the innermost core of your heart. Resplendent with the radiance of molten gold, he has descended in the age of Kali by his causeless mercy to bestow what no incarnation has ever offered before, the most elevated mellow of devotional service, the mellow of conjugal love. Knowing my opulences, the whole world looks upon me with awe and veneration. But devotion made feeble by such reverence does not attract me. I'll read this. This is kind of a cool purport. After his appearance, Lord Krishna thought that he had not distributed the transcendental personal dealings with his devotees in Dasya, Sakya, Vatsalya, and Madhurya. One may understand the science of the Supreme Personality of Godhead from the Vedic literatures and thus become a devotee of the Lord and worship him within the regulative principles described in the scriptures. But one will not know in this way how Krishna is served by the residents of Rajabhumi. One cannot understand the dealings of the Lord in Vrindavan simply by executing the ritualistic regulative principles mentioned in the scriptures. By following scriptural injunctions, one may enhance his appreciation for the glories of the Lord, but there is no chance for one to enter into personal dealings with him. Giving too much attention to understanding the exalted glories of the Lord reduces the chance of one's entering into personal loving affairs with the Lord. To teach the principles of such loving dealings, the Lord decided to appear as Lord Chaitanya. Wow. Translation. This is Krishna speaking, by the way, or thinking out loud. I shall personally inaugurate the religion of the age, Nam Sankirtan, the congregational chanting of the holy name. I shall make the world dance in ecstasy, realizing the four mellows of loving devotional service. I shall accept the role of a devotee, and I shall teach devotional service by practicing it myself. This is important, purport. When one associates with a pure devotee, he becomes so elevated that he does not aspire even for sharsti, sarupya, samipya, or shalokya, because he feels that such liberation is a kind of sense gratification. Pure devotees do not ask anything from the Lord for their personal benefit. Even if offered personal benefits, pure devotees do not accept them because their only desire is to satisfy the Supreme Personality of Godhead by transcendental loving service. No one but the Lord Himself can teach this highest form of devotional service. Therefore, when the Lord took the place of the incarnation of Kali Yuga to spread the glories of chanting Hare Krishna, the system of worship recommended in this age, He also distributed the process of devotional service performed on the platform of transcendental, spontaneous love. To teach the highest principles of spiritual life, the Lord Himself appeared as a devotee in the form of Lord Chaitanya. Translation: unless one practices devotional service himself, he cannot teach it to others. This conclusion is indeed confirmed throughout the Gita and Bhagavatam. Therefore, in the company of my devotees, I shall appear on earth and perform various colorful pastimes. Thinking thus, the personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna Himself, descended at Nadia early in the age of Kali. Thus, the lion-like Lord Chaitanya has appeared in Navadvip. He has the shoulders of a lion. Wow. The powers of a lion and the loud voice of a lion. May that lion be seated in the core of the heart of every living being. Thus, with his resounding roar, may he drive away one's elephantine vices. In his early pastimes, he is known as Vishvambar because he floods the world with the nectar of devotion and thus saves the living beings. The verbal root dubrin, which is the root of the word Vishvambar, indicates nourishing and maintaining. He, Lord Chaitanya, nourishes and maintains the three worlds by distributing love of God. In his later pastimes, he is known as Lord Sri Krishna Chaitanya. He blesses the whole world by teaching about the name and fame of Lord Sri Krishna. A very lengthy purport will go on. A lot of this purport is described as we go on. Translation: knowing him, Lord Chaitanya, to be the incarnation for Kali Yuga, Garga Muni, during the naming ceremony of Krishna, predicted his appearance. The religious practice for the age of Kali is to broadcast the glories of the holy name. Only for this purpose has the Lord, in a yellow color, descended as Lord Chaitanya. The luster of his expansive body resembles molten gold. The deep sound of his voice conquers the thundering of newly assembled clouds. One who measures 4 cubits in height and in breadth by his own hand is celebrated as a great personality. Such a person is called Nyagroda Parimandala. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who personifies all good qualities, has the body of a Nyagroda Parimandala. Does anyone here scholarly know what that is? What's that? From thumb to finger? I can't hear you. Yes, who measures 4 cubits in height and breadth. That's one aspect. The other one is a person that is like that is called a Nyagroda Parimandala. So 4 cubits in height. That means maybe big and extraordinarily. Translation: his arms are long enough to reach his knees. His eyes are just like lotus flowers. His nose is like a sesame flower. And his face is as beautiful as the moon. He is peaceful, self-controlled, and fully devoted to the transcendental service of Lord Sri Krishna. He is affectionate toward his devotees. He is gentle, and he is equally disposed towards all living beings. He is decorated with sandalwood bangles and armlets and anointed with the pulp of sandalwood. He especially wears these decorations to dance in Sri Krishna's Sankirtan. Wow. This is how Lord Chaitanya went out and did Sankirtan. He was decorated with sandalwood bangles. Wow. And anointed with pulp of sandalwood. The pastimes of Lord Chaitanya have two divisions. The early pastimes, Adilila, and the later pastimes, Sesha Lila. He has four names in each of these two Lilas. In his early pastimes, he appears as a householder with a golden complexion. His limbs are beautiful, and his body, smeared with the pulp of sandalwood, seems like molten gold. In his later pastimes, he accepts the sannyas order, and he is equal poised and peaceful. He is the highest abode of peace and devotion, for he silences the impersonalist non-devotees. In Srimad Bhagavatam, it is repeatedly and clearly said that the essence of religion in the age of Kali is the chanting of the holy name of Krishna. In the age of Kali, intelligent persons performing congregational chanting to worship the incarnation of Godhead, who constantly sings the name of Krishna, although his complexion is not blackish, he is Krishna himself. He is accompanied by his associates, servants, weapons, and confidential companions. This is a lengthy purport, but maybe I should read it because it's kind of ecstatic. Won't be too much longer. We're almost getting there. Okay. Purport. This text is from Srimad Bhagavatam. Srila Jiva Goswami has explained this verse in his commentary on the Bhagavatam, known as the Krama Sandarbha, wherein he says that Lord Krishna also appears with a golden complexion. That golden Lord Krishna is Lord Chaitanya, who is worshipped by intelligent men in this age. That is confirmed in Srimad Bhagavatam by Garga Muni, who said that although the child Krishna was blackish, he also appears in three other colors, red, white, and yellow. He exhibited his white and red complexions in the Satya and Treta Yugas respectfully. He did not exhibit the remaining color, yellow, gold, until he appeared as Lord Chaitanya, who is known as Gaurahari. Srila Jiva Goswami explains that Krishna Varna means Sri Krishna Chaitanya. Krishna Varna and Krishna Chaitanya are equivalent. The name Krishna appears with both Lord Krishna and Lord Chaitanya Krishna. Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but he always engages in describing Krishna and thus enjoys transcendental bliss by chanting and remembering his name and form. Lord Krishna himself appears as Lord Chaitanya to preach the highest gospel. Lord Chaitanya always chants the holy name of Krishna and describes it also, and because he is Krishna himself, whoever meets him will automatically chant the holy name of Krishna and later describe it to others. He injects one with transcendental Krishna consciousness, which merges the chanter in transcendental bliss. In all respects, therefore, he appears before everyone as Krishna, either by personally or by sound. Simply by seeing Lord Chaitanya, one at once remembers Lord Krishna. One may therefore accept him as Vishnu Tattva. In other words, Lord Chaitanya is Lord Krishna himself. Sangopangastra Parsadam further indicates that Lord Chaitanya is Lord Krishna. His body is always decorated with ornaments of sandalwood and with sandalwood paste. By his super excellent beauty, he subdues all the people of the age. In other descents, the Lord sometimes used weapons to defeat the demoniac. But in this age, the Lord subdues them with his all-attractive figure as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Srila Jiva Goswami explains that his beauty is his astra, or weapon, to subdue the demons. Because he is all attractive, it is to be understood that all the demigods live with him as his companion. His acts were uncommon and his associates wonderful. When he propagated the Sankirtan movement, he attracted many great scholars and acharyas, especially in Bengal and Orissa. Lord Chaitanya is always accompanied by his best associates like Lord Nityananda, Advaita Gadadhar and Srivas. Srila Jiva Goswami cites a verse from the Vedic literature. It says that there is no necessity of performing sacrificial demonstrations or ceremonial functions. He comments that instead of engaging in such external pompous exhibitions, all people, regardless of caste, color, or creed, can assemble together and chant Hare Krishna to worship Lord Chaitanya. Krishna Varnam Dvisa Krishnam indicates that prominence should be given to the name of Krishna. Lord Chaitanya taught Krishna consciousness and chanted the name of Krishna. Therefore, to worship Lord Chaitanya, everyone should chant together the Maha Mantra, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. To propagate worship in churches, temples, and mosques is not possible because people have not lost interest in that. But anywhere and everywhere people can chant Hare Krishna. Thus worshipping Lord Chaitanya, they can perform the highest activity and fulfill the highest religious purpose of satisfying the Supreme Lord. Srila Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, a famous disciple of Lord Chaitanya, said, quote, the principle of transcendental devotional service having been lost, Sri Krishna Chaitanya has appeared in order to deliver again the process of devotion. He's so kind that he is distributing love of Krishna. Everyone should be attracted more and more to his lotus feet, as hummingbees are attracted to a lotus flower. Okay, we're getting down to the end. Translation. By performing the sacrifice of congregational chanting of the holy name, learned scholars in the age of Kali worship Lord Krishna, who is now non-blackish because of the great upsurge of the feelings of Srimati Radharani. He is the only worshipable deity for the Paramahamsas who have attained the highest stage of the fourth order, sannyas. May that Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Chaitanya, show us His great causeless mercy. One can vividly see His glowing complexion of molten gold, which dispels the darkness of ignorance. The sinful life of the living beings results from ignorance. To destroy that ignorance, He has brought various weapons, such as His plenary associates, His devotees, and the holy name. Raising His arms, chanting the holy name, and looking upon all with deep love, He drives away all sins and floods everyone with love of Godhead. May that Supreme Personality of Godhead in the form of Lord Sri Krishna Chaitanya bestow His causeless mercy upon us. His smiling glance at once drives away all the bereavements of the world, and His very words enliven the auspicious creepers of devotion by expanding their leaves. Taking shelter of His lotus feet invokes transcendental love of God at once. That reminds me, in Mayapur, being in front of the Panchatattva, and when you stand up close to the altar and you look at the Panchatattva, you can't help but smile. It just brings it out of you. When you see the face of Lord Chaitanya, Lord Nityananda, you can't help but just be smiling, go, wow. It hits your heart. Even if you're like, you know, even a pasandi, a non-believer, but just going there and seeing, you're reading this verse, it's true. That just seeing the Panchatattva, their faces, it made me so happy. I was just ecstatic. The rest of the day I was saying, wow, this is incredible to see the face of the Lord. So this verse is not an exaggeration. It's real. All it costs you is about $1,500 to get on an airplane and get into Mayapur. Or you can look right here at Sri Gornitai Ki Jai. And we can't afford to give you the $1,500. I'm sorry. Translation. Anyone who looks upon His beautiful body or beautiful face becomes freed from all sins and obtains the wealth of love of Godhead. Such a person is truly intelligent, whereas others who have but a poor fund of knowledge must endure the cycle of repeated birth and death. Of all sacrificial performances, the chanting of the Lord's holy name is the most sublime. Purport. Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the father and the inaugurator of the Sankirtan movement. One who worships Him by sacrificing his life, money, intelligence, and words for the Sankirtan movement is recognized by the Lord and endowed with His blessings. All others may be said to be foolish, for of all sacrifices in which a man may apply his energy, a sacrifice made for the Sankirtan movement is the most glorious. Wow, There's nothing more glorious than this. This is amazing. Translation, O my Lord, those influenced by demoniac principles cannot realize you. Although you are clearly the supreme by dint of your exalted activities, forms, character, and uncommon power, which are confirmed by all the revealed scriptures in the quality of goodness and the celebrated transcendentalness in divine nature. There are two classes of men in the created world. One consists of the demoniac and the other of the godly. The devotees of Lord Vishnu are godly, whereas those who are the opposite are called demons. Translation, Advaitacharya Goswami is an incarnation of the Lord as a devotee. His loud calling was the cause for Krishna's incarnation. Whenever Sri Krishna desires to manifest his incarnation on earth, first he creates the incarnations of his respectable predecessors. Thus, respectable personalities such as his father, mother, and spiritual master all take birth on earth first. Madhavendra Puri, Ishwar Puri, Srimati Sachimata, and Srila Jagannath Mishra all appeared with Sri Advaitacharya. Advaitacharya having appeared, he found the world devoid of devotional service to Sri Krishna because people were engrossed in material affairs. Everyone was engaged in material enjoyment, whether sinfully or virtuously. No one was interested in the transcendental service of the Lord, which can give total relief from the repetition of birth and death. Seeing the activities of the world, the Acharya felt compassion and began to ponder how he could act for the people's benefit. In this age of Kali, there's no religion other than the chanting of the holy name of the Lord. But how in this age will the Lord appear as an incarnation? I shall worship Krishna in a purified state of mind. I shall constantly petition him in humbleness. My name, Advaita, will be fitting if I am able to induce Krishna to inaugurate the movement of the chanting of the holy name. Sri Krishna, who is very affectionate toward his devotees, sells himself to a devotee who offers him merely a tulsi leaf and a palm full of water. Advaitacharya considered the meaning of the verse in this way, quote, not finding any way to repay the debt he owes to one who offers him a tulsi leaf and water, Lord Krishna thinks, there is no wealth in my possession that is equal to a tulsi leaf and water. Thus, the Lord liquidates the debt by offering himself to the devotee. Considering in this way, the Acharya began worshipping him. Wow. There's no wealth in my possession that is equal to a tulsi leaf and water. This is God speaking. Incredible. What mercy there is. He liquidates the debt. You know, if you have a big debt, you had a $100,000 debt, and someone says, I'm going to liquidate it if you do this little thing, wouldn't you feel ecstatic? Krishna is saying, you can liquidate your debt to him by offering tulsi water. Translation, thinking of the lotus feet of Sri Krishna, he constantly offered tulsi buds in water from the Ganges. Therefore, the principal reason for Sri Chaitanya's descent is this appeal by Advaitacharya. The Lord, the protector of religion, appears by the desire of his devotee. Thus, I have surely determined the meaning of the fourth verse. Lord Gauranga, Lord Chaitanya, appeared as an incarnation to preach unalloyed love of God. Praying at the lotus feet of Sri Rupa and Sri Raghunath, always desiring their mercy, I, Krishnadas, narrate Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, following in their footsteps. Thus end the Bhaktivedanta purports to Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita Adi Lila, third chapter, describing the external reasons for the appearance of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. So would anyone like to say something? Yes, Prabhu.
I'd like to thank you for a wonderful class. I like both the your realizations in the beginning and the reading here. And I'd also like to thank you for asking if anybody would like to say anything, because I don't think it's... Can you hear me? Okay.
Yes, I can hear you.
Yeah, so I'd like to thank you for asking if anybody would like to say anything, because I don't think it's fair to have devotees sit and listen to a reading like this, hearing so much amazing, ecstatic stuff, yeah. And not feel and not give them an opportunity to respond. Because this is, you know, it's like just hearing this is like agitating to the consciousness in a good way. So, we got inspired to say, as I was listening to all this, is, where the realization I got was that we're sacrificing our valuable time and energy to hear these narrations, like we're doing today, and to distribute them in the form of Srila Prabhupada's books. And expanding upon that same principle, we want people to come and see the deities. We want people to come and take prasadam. Why? Because we have the conviction that these things are full of invested with transcendental potencies, and that these narrations are invested with transcendental potencies, and that, of course, they're present in the books we're distributing to the people. You know, just by coming and seeing the deities or eating prasadam, you know, people are getting immense spiritual benefit. That's the conviction we have. And those among us who are even more fortunate are directly experiencing that. So, and it's no cheap thing. It's no small thing, you know, because as we could see, Manushyanam Sahasrestu, the vast majority of the human population in the world today are not at all, unfortunately, able to appreciate the Krishna consciousness movement, at least to any significant degree. So every morning when we wake up, and all day long for that matter, we should thank our spiritual master, Srila Prabhupada, for making us fortunate, for bringing us, you know, introducing us to this, for giving us the opportunity to come in contact with this. Because if it wasn't for his mercy, and of course, you know, he's acting as a representative and an instrument of the parampara, the disciplic succession, going right back to Lord Chaitanya, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. If it wasn't for their mercy, you know, where would we be? We'd just be like as unfortunate as everybody else. So, we always have to remember that, especially today on Gaur Purnim. And also to be very careful to always to remember, just as these things are invested with transcendental potencies, you know, these narrations, the prasadam, seeing the deities, appearances are deceiving. You know, just in the same way that these things are invested with transcendental potencies, there's so many things out there in the material world that appear very nice, but they're invested with the opposite of transcendental potencies. They're invested with nescient potencies. And if we, just like everybody now, is so worried that, you know, these nuclear reactors are going to blow up in Japan and that radiation is going to go all over the place.
Yeah.
You know, you can't see it, but everybody knows that's dangerous stuff. It's, you're not seeing it, but it kills you. So in the same way, there's a lot of stuff out there that we don't want to expose ourselves to. Because although innocent as it may seem, all the stuff of the material world, you know, that's produced by the non-devotees, it's invested with this nescient potency. And you become affected by that. So just in the same way we become benefited by hearing these narrations, taking prasadam, reading the books, seeing the deities, so in the same way our consciousness can become polluted by allowing ourselves to be exposed to these things more than necessary. You know, I mean, this is, to a certain degree you have to, in the service of Krishna, okay, you know. But we shouldn't open ourselves up to this stuff and in this way jeopardize our spiritual lives. So anyway, thank you for giving me an opportunity to say that.
Thank you for your, because, you know, just like we read, or we didn't read, but we're saying, sukham atyantikam, super sense gratification. This is what we can actually achieve, because people in the material world, they're looking for this material sense enjoyment, and they're frustrated by it. And they take so many intoxications, they do so many crazy things, jump off a bridge in one of those bungee ropes. You know, they do the most insane things to get some kind of pleasure. But it's all material. But here, in Krishna consciousness, just by the little things that we read, what you can do, water a tulsi plant every day, chant Hare Krishna, and we can actually achieve sukham atyantikam, super sense gratification. Like super, beyond, transcendental. And it's eternal. It's so easy, but what do? This is our gross foolishness. We just don't want to be told what to do. You know, we don't want to be told. We just don't know what it is. It's ingrained with us like that. But thank you very much for your comments. And the devotees that go out and distribute books, what mercy they're getting. The devotees that are going out on Harinam Sankirtan, taking abuse, bad looks, doing so many things. Why? You know, if you ask them, well, do you love Lord Chaitanya? Most of them will say, well, I'm not sure. But then it goes back to the example of Harisari and Prabhupada, which I stated this morning. They do it out of love because they want to do it. The book distributors, preachers want to do it. The kirtaniers, the Harinam devotees, they do it out of love to please Prabhupada, please Krishna. The devotees that are doing, look at the austerity, up all night doing this, you know, weeks, months, sewing the outfit, dressing the deities, cooking. This kitchen here goes 24/7. Ratna's in that kitchen. He put an engine in his car last week. In the meantime, he was building the Rath Yatra cart. Goes in and cooks for 1,000 people. I mean, this is love. This is real love. We may not see it in our eyes. Well, you'll say, what? This is real love. This is love.
You know, Prabhupada used to tell that story on a few occasions about these different people wanted blessings. There was a saintly person, so he blessed there was a prince. So he blessed the prince. May you live forever, because the prince was engaged in so much sense gratification. You know, being the son of a king. That he was, you know, racking up so much bad karma there, so better he keep living, because as soon as he dies, he's going to go to hell to have to suffer the reactions to all that sinful activity. And he blessed the brahmachari. The brahmachari says, may you die immediately, because the brahmachari is performing all these austerities and, you know, tapasya, very difficult life. So he said, you know, you're getting purified. May you die immediately so you can go back to this spiritual world. And he blessed the butcher, may you don't live, don't die, because you have such an abominable, like you're performing so many abominable activities that when you die, you're going to suffer hellishly like that, you know. And better you don't live, because it's already so hellish the way you're living, having to kill animals and this and that. That's how, you know, don't live, don't die. But when it came to the devotee, the blessing he said, he says, may you live or die, you know, jivava mato sador, you know, may you live or die, because nothing could be improved upon. You know, the devotee had already hit the pinnacle. May you live or die as you like. Yeah. Your life is glorious. You know, you're serving Krishna now. You're benefiting so many people by what you're doing. It's wonderful. If you want to keep living, that's wonderful. And if you want to die, that's wonderful too, because you go back and be with Krishna.
Very important point. We should appreciate today all the service that devotees are doing in a temple. You know, the devotees are working in the buffet. Every day, so steady, you know, helping, doing the service, you know, the girls that work in the shop, Tadit, going to India, doing that austerity. You know, we can never really determine if, you know, in our particular vision, oh, do they love Krishna or Prabhupada? How can we make that, you know, I mean, just by the steadiness of their activity, day in and day out, of years and years and years of surrender. I mean, how can we just, you know, in any way look at that and make some kind of a judgment? Everything that devotees are doing in this temple is out of sincerity and out of love. Otherwise, it couldn't go on. You know, you couldn't be distributing books for many years as you have without any, you know, love for Srila Prabhupada. There's no question. Anyone that's doing their service, anyone that's here and dedicating themselves fully like this. And this is what this is about, because I wanted to read about the internal and the external, because it was all in relationship to love. This was about love and loving exchanges. This is why Lord Chaitanya came. Yes, Sachitanoy.
That note of love and affection, in your description when you were reading that Lord Advaita called the Supreme Lord to descend, just with a simple leaf of tulsi and water. And then it came to my understanding that actually these are eternal associates of the Lord, and the Lord is very pleased. He cannot be separately from his devotees, and obviously he has to come.
Yeah.
And just like he himself in the Srimad Bhagavatam, he says a famous verse that says, Natha tame priyatadma, adma yonir nashankara, nacha sankarsano nasrir, naivadma chayate babam. He says, Lord Brahma is not as dear as me, Lord Brahma is not as dear to me, no Lord Shiva, no Lord Balaram, my brother, not even Lakshmi, the goddess of fortune, not even my own self, he says, as you are, Uddhava, to his devotee.
Yeah.
And Prabhupada comments that actually that means to all the devotees. And it's just amazing that how the Lord loved his devotees so much that just but a simple, you know, like say Tulsi, it's just it's not an ordinary plant. It's like
yes.
It's a pure devotee of the Lord. He cannot eat without Tulsi leaves.
Yeah.
And what to speak also the Mother Ganga, that many saintly sadhus go there and take bath. So he has to come down.
Yes.
And of course Lord Advaita, the Lord himself is calling him too as a devotee, so that's my understanding was that also that you were mentioning, there are many devotees who are serving here. We have to respect each other, we have to deal carefully with the devotees. Because it's very dangerous. We don't know who is who.
That's right, we don't.
And in that note, sometimes, you know, it makes it hard for understanding spiritual life. That is the most difficult thing. If there's any obstacle in a spiritual life, that will be offenses to devotees.
Yes.
And that will be very, very sad to see that sometimes someone has been serving for many years and for some reason something happened. We should pray for that devotee, whoever that is, it might be.
Yeah.
Us in the future to be carefully how to deal with each other.
Yeah,
and
very
pray
good
for that.
Thank you. I really appreciate that. That's very, very sweet. So from that we should make sure that Ishana's health stays good so she can continue worshiping Tulsi Devi. We can continue having a good crop of Tulsi plants. Anyone else like to say anything? Okay.
Before that, since you mentioned Mother Ishana, I just want to say something that's it's not very Shastric, but it just came to me since we're talking about Tulsi. About a month ago, I had a dream that I was so fortunate to be, you know, Prabhupada was there giving darshan, and I just thought, wow, I'm right here, and Prabhupada's right there, I can't believe. But who was there? It was Mother Ishana. She was there, and I was thinking, wow, Srila Prabhupada is so pleased with her because he's taking care of Tulsi every day. So I just wanted to mention that.
Sure.
Hopefully she'll recuperate soon.
There you go. Okay. Prem Sankirtan does.
I'm very, you know, fallen stupid. But my understanding of... in another word, what Bhrigupati said, my understanding of external and internal reason why Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appear is internal reason is how you say then he want to experience internal affair of Radha Krishna because he is himself Radha Krishna, but at the same time external reason was he was teaching how to perform devotional service by preaching and by practicing devotional service himself. And basically it's not different because if we follow in his footsteps, if we perform devotional service, and at the same time if we try to very carefully study Srila Prabhupada books, Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, and Chaitanya Charitamrita, Prabhupada said then everything will be revealed and everything is there. That means in the same time we are doing what he was doing, preaching and practicing devotional service, and at the same time he was experiencing these internal affairs, what also we will experience just very carefully practicing what he was practicing externally. That's what I want to say. Thank you.
Okay. Sri Gopinima ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Haribo. Oh, and I'm so sorry to have to end on this note, but it's extremely important. Ratnabhushana is requesting if anyone could come in the kitchen and help with the feast cooking. If you can, please help him. Thank you.